So what I thought I'd do right up front is to kind of give you a quick overview of what the 4 weeks will look like. And we're going to do our centering. We're going to then go into a short talk. And that talk is going to lead into a meditation. And then we'll have a question and answer. And then a closing. Now, what's interesting is that tonight begins a two-part segment on what's called RAIN. And I know that in some of my open classes, I've talked about RAIN, and my long-suffering wife has admonished me that I perhaps have not explained what that, what the acronym stood for, which would have been really handy. I thought I did, but RAIN is a mechanism or a process that we can use to help deal with difficult emotions, and it stands for recognize, allow or accept, investigate, and nurture. And through that process, we're in essence giving ourselves an opportunity to regroup, to take a moment so that we can actually have that sacred pause, to respond skillfully and not react. So not get ourselves into further trouble in reaction to an issue that we're dealing with. And hi, Gary, welcome back. Thank you. So tonight we're going to be looking at the first two letters of RAIN, recognize and allow or accept. And we're going to be talking and dealing with what I hope will be sort of the less drastic, maybe the more common everyday frustrations and annoyances that we have. And tomorrow, as we get into investigate and nurture, I want to expand that and perhaps get a little deeper and go into and bring up, not tomorrow, next week. I'm sure there were people going, wait a minute, I didn't think it was tomorrow. Go into more of a discussion of some of the deeper troubling aspects of our difficult emotions. So next week, if you remember on the schedule, it won't be Tuesday, it'll be Monday. Then the third week, when we come back, we'll be talking about self-compassion. And self-compassion ties in nicely with the N of RAIN, which is nurture. And it's something that, quite frankly, we all need more of, and we don't do enough of. And I think our ability to focus on this with a little more deeper attention can be hugely helpful for us in dealing with a whole range of things and issues that we deal with. And then our final week will be a Wednesday, just to change it up. So it's Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'll keep reminding you of the schedule. We'll be dealing with forgiveness. And forgiveness ties in nicely with self-compassion, but it's also something that we can stand to do more of, both in terms of directing it inward and directing it outward. And our ability to not condone what has happened to us and not invite it to happen again, but to acknowledge that it has happened, acknowledge the feelings around it, and then be able to, through a practice of forgiveness, allow that to pass naturally and not be enslaved by blame, resentment, and the kind of vindictiveness that often comes with a reaction to being wronged. So those are the sort of a quick description of the four sessions. And I want to slide now into talking about RAIN from the point of view of recognizing and accepting, and talk about some of the different things that cause us to be experiencing difficulties. And we heard in our discussions tonight a variety of different things. A common theme was frustration, anxiety, a fear of letting go, for example, and that could be a fear of letting go of any number of specific things. Difficult emotions can arise out of, for example, anger at the way we're treated. Charlie mentioned anger on Facebook at stupidity. So that could also be frustration, anger at a situation. Many times these difficult feelings and emotions are derived from some central basic feelings. And those central basic feelings can be anger and fear. Fear drives and sadness. But many times fear and sadness drive other emotions, cause us to lash out. So it's important for us to understand that we can have some primary effects, and then we can have secondary effects. Again, feelings that grow out of those original triggers, if you will. I was thinking about what Kimball was saying in terms of wanting something to have happened already, right? And I said anxiousness, and that was the wrong word for that. It was probably more a sense of frustration and the desire to have something, you know, and it's a very natural feeling for us. If something's going to happen, many times we have that grasping of wanting it to happen now. We don't want to have to wait. And there can be a sense of true frustration around that. It can then for sometimes drive anger in us in a reaction. And that anger can be directed inward, it can be directed outward. But it often, anger is not always a bad thing. And these negative emotions, I want to make sure that we're not classifying from a judgmental standpoint as either good or bad. But they can certainly be positive or negative in how they affect us. How we respond to these can be either skillful or unskillful. And when I say skillful, what I mean is, have we taken that pause in order to let these emotions calm down? And I'm going to talk a little bit about the neuroscience in a second, but allow the emotions to calm down so that then we can plug in our rational brain and respond appropriately. The limbic system, and again, I'm going to talk about this a little bit more next week. The limbic system is that primitive part of the brain, the lizard brain, that was really great at keeping us alive, making us react quickly to something, bringing the blood to rush out of our brain into our extremities so that we could fight or flee or freeze. But when that's happening, it doesn't allow us to think clearly. And that's part of what our mindfulness process around dealing with these difficult emotions can bring to bear. So in the RAIN practice, the first thing that we're doing is we're noticing how these emotions, these difficult feelings are manifesting themselves in our body. So let's think about this quickly. When someone cuts us off in a car on the highway, we can have a couple of immediate reactions to that. I would tell you, I think our very first emotion is fear, because we're scared that we might have been injured. We're scared that we're going to lose control of the car. But very quickly after that can arise a feeling of anger. So in that moment, we can feel what's happening inside our body. And I'm just going to ask very quickly, and I'll, you know, please raise your hand or a finger if you want to respond. Where would you think you would feel that expressing itself? Where would it show up in your body if you were suddenly cut off on the highway? Ed?
In my chest, in my heart.
Okay. And your heart might start beating quickly?
Yeah.
Yep. Anyone else? Yeah, Tracy.
And also in my stomach, my heart and my chest and my stomach.
Yeah, what would happen in your stomach?
Stomach in your mouth thing.
Yeah.
I feel like somebody, you just escaped.
Yeah, so sometimes, your heart can start beating quickly. Your stomach can sometimes feel like you've just been punched. You can get dry mouth, right? Anyone else? Yes, Nancy, I'm going to take you off of mute. Go ahead.
Like my teeth and my, or my jaw, my,
yeah. Your jaw can clench. Anyone else? Gary.
I get really angry really fast. So the anger, I don't know. It's kind of in my esophagus area.
Yeah. And by the way, you look and sound marvelous. That was just a kiss of death, of course.
Thank you, darling.
Anyone else want to share how? Yes, Adrian, I'm going to take you.
Well, I'll first feel it in my chest, but eventually I'll feel it in my back and my hand. I mean, I'll feel it all over, just a general tightening.
Right, right.
Shoulders, neck.
Absolutely. Shoulders and neck, your hands can start to feel a little sweaty as the blood and the, your system is sending adrenaline and cortisol through you. So you can really start to feel all of this. And that's one of the reasons why your heart starts beating. I wanted to spend some time on this particular example because it's very palpable. Anger and how it demonstrates itself in the body is one of the easier things for us to kind of, you know, identify with and visualize and remember. I want to ask now if you can remember something that might have caused you some sadness. And it doesn't have to be deep grief. It could be something simple, but made you sad, or it could be a little more serious. But does anyone want to share where they might feel that?
I'll feel that definitely in my chest and my heart area.
Yep.
That's where sadness goes to for me right away.
Right. Does anybody feel it sometimes in their eyes? I mean, you know, the tear reaction is certainly a reflection of that, but sometimes we can start to feel a little pressure around our eyes, but certainly in the chest and the heart area. So, yes, Ed, you can pull yourself off of mute. I'll let you do that. You can just, yeah.
There we go. I think when I feel sadness, I get a kind of a slumping feeling. You know, I just kind of like your shoulders just kind of sag.
Yep. That's pretty common. Again, the thing about this is that everybody's different. There's some commonalities, But everybody may feel it differently, and I happen to share that. But so what I'm getting at is, we're going to spend some time. I'm going to do, now lead us in a very short meditation, 5 minutes or less. And we're just going to try to tap into a couple of these feelings. We'll have a little discussion, and then I want to take a little longer period with some longer pauses, silence, right? And I'm going to kind of lead us through and see if we can identify others, other types of emotions and difficult feelings. The key here as we do these exercises, short or long, is number one, not everybody's going to feel it. You're not going to feel it in the same place, especially, but also nothing may arise for you. This is not uncommon. It happens. So first and foremost, don't judge yourself over that. If you start to feel frustrated at yourself or me, which is fine, just go there. So what does frustration feel like? How's that playing out, right? You know, Clayton's asking me to feel sadness. I don't feel sadness, but I feel like he's being a jerk. Well, what does that feel like? How does that manifest itself in your body? And if you still can't feel that, it's okay. This is a process, right? It doesn't happen overnight. It's practice. So, and any questions before we go into, again, it's going to be a short 5 minute meditation, and then we'll talk about it a little bit and then come back and do a slightly longer meditation. And again, I know Tracy had chatted that I was going in and out again, and I appreciate that. I hope it's corrected itself. I want to tell you, I did spend hours and hours researching. First of all, you notice for those who've been following me, my video and audio is a little bit better, but not perfect. So anyway, let's do this now. Let's get into our meditative posture, whatever is comfortable for us. I'm going to, again, mute everyone, give you a chance to get into your comfortable position. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. I invite you to follow your breath with curiosity, following it in and out. Find that anchor, knowing that your thoughts may already be starting to take your attention elsewhere. You might find some touch points in your body, your shoulders, the weight of gravity pulling you towards your seat wherever you are, your hands, your feet. Just to bring your attention back. Now, I'm just going to invite you to bring up it could be a quick memory, or it could be a visualization of something that could happen in the future, but something that causes you annoyance, something that perhaps you find frustrating. Maybe even a little angry. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. And it could be you were waiting for an email that didn't come. Somebody hasn't returned a call. Somebody posted something on Facebook that was just stupid. You saw someone say something on TV that was irresponsible. Whatever can provoke that feeling. And I want you to just spend some time seeing where it is arising. And again, for some people, it could be the heart has started to race a little bit. For some people, it could be the breathing has picked up. For some people, it could be a clench in the hands, or the jaw is clenching, or the throat is starting to close. It's harder to breathe. Just let your attention be here without judgment around it, but just identify this. See if this is something that you have seen before. And if that feeling has started to pass and maybe your attention has been drawn elsewhere, let's just stay with this type of feeling. Make it easy for us. Maybe we can bring up something, a similar situation or something different. Frustration of not being able to be with our loved ones, with our children, with our parents. Where does that show up? The frustration of not being able to be at work, having lost work. Or having a loved one in that situation, how does that demonstrate itself physically? See if we can just spend another couple of seconds with our attention there. Okay. And now, slowly and gently, we can bring our attention back. Take a couple seconds to look around the room, and then bring our attention back into the virtual space. And now I invite you, if you can identify where you might have felt the anger, annoyance, frustration, and you can share if it was where you expected it or whether it was somewhere different, or if you had difficulty finding that. And Lisa, go ahead. I'm going to take everybody off of mute right now. And go ahead, Lisa.
My chest got tight. I got very frustrated and my chest got tighter.
Mm. Okay. That's not a very good feeling, is it?
No.
No, it's not. And I apologize for taking us through something and not giving you the anecdote, but you're going to get that. That's going to be the second part. So stay tuned. this was really an opportunity for us to kind of give a test drive to this. Who else would like to share?
I noticed that, and maybe it's because other people said where they felt their feelings. I felt it in different areas besides, I usually, it's my gut. It's almost all my feelings end up in my gut.
Mm-hmm.
The second brain, or how do they say that? But, and the other thing I noticed is that frustration, anger, usually, I mean, they're not, it's not easy for me to separate. I feel disappointment. I feel like there's a lot of feelings packed into something, to yeah. that anger or.
Right. You
know, and so crystallizing it into.
Yeah. Yeah. And I apologize. Sometimes I'm responding too quickly because this is.
No, that's okay.
And Donna, I'm going to come down to you next. And Kim, what's interesting about that is that the outgrowth of these different emotional responses to the original one often comes because we're going into our head. So this is one of the things I call the cycle of suffering. When we've got this initial pain, and then we have a thought around it, and the thought blocked
us,
and we'll never get out of this cycle of suffering until we remove that story from our feeling. But it can go in many different directions, and it can almost become, I was going to say viral, and I was like,
Ew.
Yes.
Contagious.
Yes, it can. And it can become contagious within yourself and with others,
mm-hmm.
which is just another reason why we want to try to be able to be skillful in how we respond to this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, Ed, I'm going to come down to Donna first and then up to you, okay?
Yep.
So I was really surprised that it was across my back and in my shoulders. Like I could feel myself like tensing. And the first thing I wanted to do when we were done is just kind of let it all out.
Right.
So it was like I was like constricting my own breathing, like by squishing up my shoulders almost. Even though I wasn't, but that's what it felt like.
Exactly. So interesting. And again, that can be the chemicals running through our body. And how interesting that the brain will do this in a situation. Remember, the brain does not distinguish between social and physical threat.
Mm.
It's the same part of the brain is activated. Mm. So when Charlie gets angry at people on Facebook, right, it's the same part of the brain as if someone had encountered him on the street, you know, physically. Ed, thank you, Donna.
I was just going to follow up on what Kim said, that, you know, the feelings that she was describing, sometimes they can come, or with me, they can come not actually with an event that disappoints you, but with the anticipation of the event, and you're anticipating what the outcome's going to be. You're anticipating that negative outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get into that cycle of, you know, the chest tightening and, you know, heart beating and all of that.
Oh, sure. Well, and remember, and I say remember because I don't know who I've said this to before. The brain has five times as much real estate dedicated to noticing and reacting to threat as it does to noticing and reacting to reward. Mm. So our anticipation is hardwired. And it absolutely, and by the way, you know, I may have shared with some of you visualization of good, priming ourselves for good things. Well, the brain's already primed to visualize bad. So thank you for sharing that, Ed. That's pretty common. I see Charlie's hands up.
Yeah, hey, Clady, and everybody. Actually, it's not the frustration of the people on Facebook, because I actually have love it and stir the pot just to keep things going. I miss the bar business. But it's the frustration right now with this virus. I mean, I'm 64. I don't have any kids. You know, I don't have a business anymore. It's the frustration with the selfish and stupid people that are going to continue to make this virus hang around. I mean, they showed people this morning on one of the news stations. They look like they were at a concert waiting for the door to open. They were so close to each other. And it's just like, really? I mean, at least try to do something. And people that just don't care. And then you get people like the three guys that killed the guy for asking him to put a mask on going into a store. I mean, what the, what's going on? So it's that kind of frustration
And Charlie, I know that you've
told me away.
Yeah, and Charlie, I know that you've told me in the past when we've done body scans and things like that, that it's not, it's not sort of an easy thing for you to check into this. When you think about what you've just described, can you feel it somewhere tangibly in your body?
You know, as you were just going through all this since we started this tonight, I feel like that most of it, like, you know, yeah, stuff in my gut and all, but I feel like sometimes I go, and that's the thing that I'm working on the most is equanimity, because I go from okay to whoo, explosion like a volcano. So there really aren't that many feelings because it's so fast.
Mm.
I said to a friend the other night, I said, three of the four heart practices I've got nailed, but the equanimity, the calmness. But you know what? It's really working, because like even tonight when you said to think of something, I didn't get really any bad feeling, any good feeling, any high, any, which hopefully will be good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you walking us through that. It's you know, that pause is what we're going to be after. Mm-hmm. You're going to hear me refer to that often. And if things are arising quickly, and by the way, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but there are times when we can be chasing a really good feeling and we need to hit a pause. I'm gonna say that happens to us hopefully more as teenagers, right? But bad habits can come and be reinforced by what feels like a good feeling. And I know I'm speaking to the choir, Charlie, but I have my own issues with compulsions and addictions, as you know, and my ability to catch that feeling as it's arising when, and let's make it simple, I'm going for that sleeve of Oreos. Right, and it could be something. It could be something very different. Right, back in the day, it could have been finishing the bottle of wine or whatever. Right, but we can chase a good feeling, and that pause is just as important. And by the way, it manifests itself in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you pay attention, if we build this awareness muscle, we'll start to feel where that trigger is. When Ben and Jerry's calling me, right? I know it by now, right? I just choose to ignore it. But with our awareness muscle and being able to say, where does it show up? Okay, so let's get ourselves back into that comfortable position. as I like to say, sitting upright and alert without being rigid. With your feet, if you're seated in a chair or a couch, with your feet firmly on the ground, your hands wherever they're comfortable, folded in your lap. I'm going to put everyone on mute again so you can move around if you have to. But during this period, I'm just going to invite us to try to stay as quiet as we can, because we want our attention to be going inward. We're going to be spending time checking out how things are showing up in our bodies. And if our body can be reasonably still, that will help us in this process. So let's begin by taking a couple of deep breaths. Again, just getting relaxed and centered. Deep in-breath through the nose. Long out-breath through the mouth. Again, deep in-breath through the nose, long extended out-breath. And now, let your breathing return to its normal cadence. You might spend just a moment or two following the breath where it's most obvious. For some people, that's in and out the nose, following the chest, rising and falling. Maybe your belly expanding and contracting. Take a quick trip down to find some touch points in our body. They can also be helpful as anchors to bring our attention back, but also we can very quickly see where our body is asking for some attention. We might start at our forehead and relax any tension that we're carrying there. Soften our eyes. Relax our jaw. Maybe put a half smile in our mouth, which helps keep our jaw loose. And come down and pay some attention to your shoulders. Maybe they got tight during our last meditation. See if you can breathe some relaxation on the out-breath to wherever you might be carrying some stress. You might sense the feeling of the weight of your body in your seat, the feeling of your hands. Can you feel the energy perhaps pulsating through your hands? Can you feel the temperature of your hands? Are they cold or warm or neutral? Maybe get a sense of your feet against the floor, or if they're crossed, just how do they feel? Do you feel energy pulsing through them? Maybe get a sense from the inside out, the temperature of your feet. And as your attention gets pulled away by thinking, which will happen, it can be useful just to note the thought. Don't go up into the story, but just note where you're remembering, planning. Worrying, and just bow to that thought and come back to whatever anchor is most useful to you. It could be your breath, it could be that part of your body that's calling your attention. Just build that awareness. We can begin to be present at any moment. And so now I'm going to invite you to bring to mind a situation. It could be in a relationship. There might be some conflict, some misunderstanding, something that you're reacting to. That is affecting how you feel right now, or how you imagine you would feel if this isn't happening right now. Be creative if it's not something that comes to mind. What might make you feel in conflict? What might make you feel a sense of sadness, a sense of frustration? And as we did in the past, let's see if we can feel where this is arising in our body. If it's sadness, is it a constriction in our chest, in our heart area? Frustration might show up in our hands, in our breathing, in our shoulders. And we want to take this moment to see if we can recognize where we felt this before. We're building our awareness muscle. Where have we seen this before? Where have we felt this before? Do we recognize this? And if we can recognize it, can we now, without judgment, give it space to be? Is it possible for us to say yes to this feeling? Not yes that we like it, not yes that we want it to happen. But yes that we recognize it. And yes, we can accept and allow that it's happening right now. This is our experience. And can we have our focus be on how that experience is living itself through our body and not go up into our head about the story? That's natural. And if that's happening, don't beat yourself up, just say, I got it, but I want to see my attention go to where this is happening inside. Bring my curiosity. Again, if no examples have come to mind, that's okay. That happens. You might just see how it feels. Maybe a little frustrated that it didn't happen, or maybe frustrated that you were asked and it didn't happen. But if you are with that situation, if you can go deep into it now and just explore that feeling, recognize how it shows up. Maybe it shifted a little bit. Can you follow it? But can you say yes and allow it to be there, knowing that it will pass? And now we can begin to slowly open our eyes. Gently and mindfully bringing ourselves back into this space. Checking out our physical surroundings, slowly reacquainting. Please do. I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes allowing for discussion, thoughts about challenges with that, comments, things that were working, and then just wrap it up with some thoughts going forward. So just again, yes, Ed, you can take yourself off of mute. Go ahead.
There we go. I'm not sure the path that we're supposed to take throughout that. So identifying the issues that are causing angst or whatever, recognizing it. But then part of the meditation is getting over to the shoulder of the highway, so to speak, and kind of removing yourself from it? Or should you be concentrating on trying to recognize it and accept it versus ignoring it?
Well, thank you, Ed, for, again, you always bring wonderfully insightful questions, which I think many people may be going through their minds as well. You actually hit the nail on the proverbial head in the second part of your question, which was, should we be recognizing and accepting it as opposed to trying to make it go away? And that answer is, the first part of RAIN is the part of saying, okay, this is happening to me. I've felt this before. So I'm going to begin to recognize this, and then I'm going to give it space to happen. There's a reason from a scientific point of view why we're doing that. And that is, as your concentration comes in and you're spending the time recognizing it, and then giving it space to be, you are in fact pulling over to the side of the road. So it's simultaneous, but you can't, I don't want to say you can't, but it's very difficult to pull over to the side of the road effectively without going through that first process of getting out of your head, where the story is starting to, you know, the limbic system's kicked in. And the limbic system has ignited the hypothalamus, and this, all this stuff is going on. They call it the amygdala hijack, right? And now all you can do is start to say, well, I've got to beat someone up, or I've got to, you know, explode something. By going through that process of recognizing and allowing, the limbic system begins to calm down, and you are in fact pulling over to the side of the road. And that's where we're able to begin hitting that pause button, which will then help us respond skillfully as opposed to react in a way that could be inappropriate. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So you're not accepting the behavior. You're not like a negative behavior, you're just understanding it. Is that
I know where you're going with this, and I think you're headed in the direction that I would want to guide you. When we say accept or think of allow, it's, and I want to be very careful that it's not condoning. It's not saying, yeah, bring this on. Treat me like crap.
Yeah.
I love it. This is how I roll.
That's true.
No, but what it's saying is, I'm being treated like crap, but at this moment, instead of getting wrapped up into why am I being treated by crap? Am I going to be treated like crap the rest of my life? I deserve to be treated like crap. What we're doing is saying being treated like crap makes me feel nauseous. My stomach is upset. Now I'm going to spend some time with this. I recognize when my stomach feels like this, it's often because I'm feeling bad about myself, right? So again, I'm not going to go up in the story. Who's making me feel bad? Why I'm feeling bad? Am I going to feel bad tomorrow? This is okay. I recognize this. This is my nauseous feeling I get when I'm feeling bad about myself. And then it's like, okay, at this moment, can I just spend some time knowing that this is my experience right now? If I chose to push it away, it's not going to go away. So I'm going to choose to accept the fact this is happening. That's where the accept comes in. Right? Yeah. I'm going to accept that it's happening. And Gary, I'm going to write down to you in a second. But this is simply the process of allowing me to calm my limbic system, to get calm, so that when I act, it's done skillfully. Now, and apologize one more second, Gary, because I do want to get to you. My action may be forceful. My action may be to say, no more of this. My action may be to say, I'm in the Acme. I'm really sorry. I don't want to be an asshole, but could you put your mask over your nose? Now, I don't know whether that's the right thing. I use that as an example. But those silly little times can be the difference between getting into a total confrontation with someone where it just slid down. They weren't doing that because they don't think their nose can create, you know, a viral spray. But it could be that time where we're just, so I'm seeing this happen. I start to feel like, oh God, this person's such a jerk. It's like, wait a minute. That's my judging feeling. I know that feeling. It's my judging feeling. All right. Can I spend a nanosecond recognizing that I'm being judging? Yes. Can I be with it? Yes, I can be with that. In that second, now, if I need to respond, I can probably go into the inventory of the correct responses at that time. Gary, pull yourself off of mute. What did you want to say? I'll do it. Hang on a sec. Whoop, there you go.
Yeah, I was just thinking when Ed was talking, he was saying it, the accept word, but you were saying in the meditation, just say yes to it. Not necessarily yes, it's okay, but yes, it's there, versus saying no, it's there.
Right.
So it's a different way of acknowledging the feeling. So, and for me, I'm thinking of these sessions a lot deep. I'm not thinking about COVID. I'm thinking about my issues not related necessarily to COVID right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So I'm taking this to my interpersonal needs and stuff. So, you know, I know when I have these, I can't sometimes see my problem is just reacting, you mm-hmm. know, like the feeling I get and how horrible it makes me feel, you know, around my little letting go issue of, you know, letting go of a relationship. And, you know, and I have to, I mean, it's really hard for me because I can, you know, I know I'm supposed to look at it like a ticker tape, just, you know, watch it go by, you know, like counting sheep and not react to it. But I do, you know, I have a hard time. It's like I either want to write something, I want to say something, I want to control the situation, you know, I want to react, you know. I'm a very visceral person. I like to do things and say things or, you know, yeah, it's really hard for me not to react, I guess that's the word. So I'm trying to identify the feeling and be able to sit with it and just say, ugh, it feels horrible. But, you know, I think now I'm getting better at letting the feeling getting so bad that I have to do something, you know, like a compulsion or just way react, you know. So I'm just trying to identify that feeling. It makes me feel so unworthy, and you know, it's a whole bunch of feelings, you know. So there's a whole lot of things, but I understand. I want to say yes, but that doesn't mean I like it, and that doesn't mean it's right, it's who I am, you know, as a person. And you know, along with that comes anger for me. You know, like I get really angry too. So anyway, I'm trying to identify that anger and that out of control and wanting to react and trying to get more into the feeling place. So okay, I'll stop there.
First of all,
I got a lot of problems.
Listen, first of all, I want to bow to that wonderful sharing. Because that's why we're here. Honestly, it does no one any good to have us kind of skip over and not bring up things that are real and visceral. What you just talked about, I could feel it, Gary. I was like, I've been there, you know? I mean, it's been a few years for me, reasonably good marriage, but with other relationships with people, outside of, you know, I can feel that. And I love how you described that I don't have to like it. I don't have to want it. But I have to acknowledge that it's here. It's what I'm feeling. It's not going to go away because I want to wish it to go away. It's still going to be there. And talking about the different things that happen, the anger, the frustration, you mentioned unworthiness. We go through this whole spiral of different feelings based on how we're reacting. Oh my God, how could I do that? And your ability to sit with that and say, well, that's why I'm here and I'm getting better. Because, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, I still eat a pint of rocky road at a time. And I, you know, I'm going to use the examples that don't create too much shame, but you know what? You can count on the fact that during our time together, I will share with, you know, some things that I want to thank you though, Gary. Thank you so much for that. And anyone else would like to share? Yes. Kim, hit your space.
I just want to say, Gary, thank you for sharing. And you know, the thing that this does do is you are open and vulnerable. You're with a bunch of people on a videotape, so it can feel weird when you walk away. But I think you make, when you share, it makes everybody else more comfortable to share.
It does.
So thank you.
It's so well said, Kim. And you know, we've had different people in our virtual open classes share different things, and it always makes everybody richer. It really does. Which doesn't mean that anybody's required to share. But when you do, there's a liberating feeling for all of us. And so I bow to that, and I send my blessings and appreciation by, because I think once we get open in a conversation, it feels like it wants to be heard, and I want to make that space. So if there are not any other pieces of sharing, I just want to send you off into the rest of this week with the blessings of, wow, we're dealing with some hard stuff. I tried to kind of dip our toes in it a little bit today. Next week, it may be a little bit up to our ankles or so. But the object here is to continue to work on a process that will help us manage it, that will help us pull over to the side of the road that will help us respond and not react.